You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Ukraine crisis has been a hefty part of the news cycle for some weeks now. We've seen thousands of Russian troops position themselves on the border with Ukraine. NATO increased troop numbers in Eastern Europe with the support of the US and the UK, and a lot of talk about Russian invasion. Even New Zealand has called for New Zealanders in the Ukraine to come on home. However, Russia has been consistently denying that they will invade, and the Ukrainian leadership has called for the West to stop making these claims about invasion because it is, frankly, scaring people. Ruben Azazian is a professor at Massey University in security studies and has a particular expertise in Russian politics. I spoke to him this morning about the state of the Ukrainian crisis as it stands now. We also go over the media coverage of the crisis and some of the problems that Ruben has with that. We also discuss whether he believes Russia will invade and what help the West actually is in finding a solution to a very long-standing, complex, violent relationship between Ukraine and Russia. I began by asking Ruben to outline the Ukraine crisis as it stands now.
Ukrainian crisis is about many things. The worst way to describe the crisis is in a very linear black and white colors, which unfortunately some of the media outlets are trying to do. Ukraine crisis has to do with post-Soviet realities. It has to do with territorial issues. It has to do with identity concerns and challenges. It has to do with President Putin's personal ambitions as well as fears of losing his power. It has to do with Ukrainians' rampant corruption and not being able to launch decent reforms. It has to do with a divide in Ukrainian society between Europe leaning West and Russia leaning East. So I guess these are all the maybe key characteristics of a Ukrainian crisis. So to sum up, Ukrainian crisis is about many issues and challenges, and it has to be resolved in a way that actually unpacks the bigger crisis rather than dealing with only one or the other dimension. And the problem we have right now between the actors and in the media is that there is certain simplification of the crisis, and you know, each party is trying to emphasize one or the other angle, whereas there are so many angles to it.
You know, obviously there's a lot of talk about invasions and then potentially, you know, diplomatic solutions, but how do you feel? Do you feel it will be a simple solution, or it'll actually end up being quite messy?
I think there will be maybe two types of solutions. One solution would be bring the emotions down, and that could be a relatively simple solution, which is, okay, we have escalated enough on both sides, by the way, or more than two sides here. We have a Ukrainian agenda, we have a Russian agenda, we have NATO agenda, and so on. But the long-term solution, I think, is going to take much longer. It also means what we mean under solution, because for Ukraine, the solution is about its eastern part, but it's also about Crimea, which was annexed by Russia, according to Ukraine and the West, and was unified and reunified with Russia, according to most Russians who you talk to. For Russia, the solution is about stopping NATO from expanding closer to the Russian border. So that is definitely going to take much longer. There will be no solution, in my opinion, for many years. We can only talk about mitigating. Look, if you look around the world, we have some territorial issues that have been there for decades, if not longer. I mean, I won't even mention Middle East, but so a expecting this to be resolved very quickly is probably not realistic. But what we need to do is, first off, agree that, that there cannot be a zero-sum approach, that, you know, we prevail and the others lose. It has to be a win-win, and the parties have to find out what is the win-win for each involved party in the crisis.
And do you think the involvement of other major nations, such as the US and the UK, and then also the NATO agreement, do you think this actually helps come to that win-win solution, or is it actually going to be a matter of Russia and Ukraine discussing it together rather than having these outer, larger Western powers involved?
Right. Ideally, I should have said, look, others have to stay away and let the two countries sort out between each other. But I don't think that will be fair to Ukraine, because Ukraine is a weaker party in this. A weaker Ukraine has been manipulated by Russia. Having said that, Ukraine has allowed Russia to manipulate itself by actually not resolving some of its internal issues. So it's not just Russia's fault, it's also Ukrainian government's fault. So because there is no parity between the two, Ukraine is not manipulating Russia and Russia is manipulating Ukraine, external powers can be helpful. The only thing is, how much do they get involved in, and whether they are genuine in their involvement, and there are some questions asked about that, or they are using this current situation for their own narrow, you know, national interests and agendas. And some criticism, which is fair, has been that, for example, while the West is very helpful in supporting Ukrainian sovereignty and economic well-being, no doubt about that, there seems to be a little bit of a, you know, hysterical commentary about invasion, which even Ukrainian leadership is not comfortable with. We see Ukrainian business people fleeing from Ukraine. We see, you know, even like Kiwis told to leave Ukraine because of, Russian invasion, which I personally thought was never going to happen, and is unlikely to happen unless someone goes absolutely crazy in the Kremlin, which I don't see happening soon. The answer is yes, external powers need to be involved, but in a constructive way rather than, mostly following their own interests.
My final question was going to be, do you think that Russia will invade Ukraine? But you've just said that's probably unlikely. What do you think Russia is planning to do then with all their troops on the border and sort of putting that pressure on? What do you think that's actually about then, if it's not about invasion?
Right. If you look at the situation with a cool head and rationally, unless you think, you know, parties involved are totally irrational. But some would agree that even North Korean leader is more rational than we think. So why would Russia invade Ukraine? Because it wants more land? Probably not. Does Russia want to invade Ukraine and then start invading the rest of the Europe, which some commentators say is a possibility? Even Soviet Union, I think, didn't have that kind of a stupid idea. So invasion of Ukraine to occupy Ukraine and make it part of Russian Federation is not going to work, and Putin knows that very well, and I don't think even wants that to happen. So what has happened is that Putin has quite skillfully, I would say, to a certain degree, although now he's starting also to pay price for that strategy, has launched a psychological warfare, basically. And what is he trying to do? Without invading, he's deserting and devastating Ukraine in some ways, right? Because it has put a lot of pressure on Ukraine. Ukrainian economy is crumbling. Ukrainian business people are fleeing away. Western embassies are closing and sending away their people. So it is creating tension and more tension and friction, and the leadership in Ukraine is under enormous attack from both sides. There are in Ukraine nationalists who want Zelensky president to be tougher with Russia, and there are others from the other angle who say we need to find a common language with Russia and stop our, you know, intentions of joining NATO and EU and all that. So the concentration of troops, in my opinion, was a psychological thing to put pressure on Ukraine, to also show that this is how it looks when NATO expands to our borders. This is how you would feel, how we would feel if NATO continues to expand and put troops next to our border. So that, to me, is a major purpose. And it's also about putting pressure on Ukraine to meet some of the provisions of the Minsk agreement between parties, the Normandy group, which Russia believes Ukrainians are not following. Now, Ukrainian government has openly said that they will not follow the Minsk agreements because they were not fair. They were signed when Ukraine was very weak. And the important part that Russia insists on is that the eastern Ukraine, where it's there's a strong separatist movement, and of course there is a clear Russian involvement to support that, that this region be given self-rule, legal rights. So, and Ukrainian government is not doing that. So the whole crisis very much revolves around that, and that is where I'm saying this is about. What is territorial dispute? What is self-determination? Should East Ukraine be allowed to have a self-rule? If not, what happens next? Because there are people in the Russian parliament now who are saying, well, if they don't get the self-rule, we should recognize them as an independent state. And that has happened to some other breakaway regions in other former Soviet states, like Georgia. So the stakes are increasingly high for Ukrainian sovereignty and territorial integrity. And also for Russia-West relations.
That was Ruben Azazian, who is a professor at Massey University in Security Studies and has a particular expertise in Russian politics, speaking about the Ukraine crisis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.